Now we're up to the last few verses of chapter 30 of Proverbs, leading into the last Proverbs 31. And this title is There Be Four Things Which Are Little Upon the Earth, But They Are Exceeding Wise. First thing I think of there is the exceeding great and precious promises that are given to the body of Christ, which of course is all centered around Christ, the mind of Christ, as we'll see. There be four things little upon the earth, but they exceeding wise. The ants, a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies, a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. There be three which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion, strongest among beasts, and turns not away for any. A greyhound, a he-goat also, and a king against whom no rising up. If you have done foolishly, or if you have thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk brings forth butter, and the wringing of the nose brings forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. Last week we looked at the seven things that explain the complete state of the yet immature Christian in these verses 19 to 23. And in this last part of Proverbs chapter 30, we'll look at the seven things that God gives to those who are being dragged out of that immature state described in Hebrews 6, verses 1 to 3, where he says at the end, God permitting, and then we're taken into a mature mindset that is needed in order to go on and become the woman who re represents the bride of Christ in Proverbs 31. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection. And Christ said that to those Jews that believed on him, who later on wanted to kill him. He says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, if you're blessed to be dragged to Christ in this life. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. To recap the first four points last week and found in Proverbs 30, verse 19, we learn such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wickedness, which represents mystery Babylon that we are coming out of. And 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Revelation 17, verse 5. So that's the history that we're coming out of. Proverbs 30, verses 19 and 20, the way of an eagle in the air, a serpent upon the rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wickedness. Then we're shown the fruit of this woman described in these last three points made in Proverbs 30, verse 21 to 23, that make up the complete state of our walk. At that time, even while we are in Christ, but not yet a mature Christian bringing forth good spiritual fruit, a process only obtained by abiding in Christ, like we just read. Christ said, if you abide in the truth, it will set you free. And so he's telling us it's the fruit of our life that's going to set us free. And when that fruit is there, of course, it's God that's given the increase. And the fruit gives us a strength to do what we have to do, both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. The words abide, abideth, or abide not appear nine times in John chapter 15. So the point is really driven home that that's the miracle of our calling, to be continuing in the truth by the grace of God and the faith of Christ. Proverbs 20, verses 21 to 23. For three, the earth is disquieted, and for four, it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigns, and a fool when he's filled with meat. For an odious woman when she's married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. If we're blessed to continue to abide in Christ, it will lead to the fruit that is going to be described in Proverbs 31, verses 1 to 31. All of this is a miracle of which boasting is excluded by the law of faith. Boast not against the branches, but if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root the. That will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. And many people have been broken off and sacrificed for the elect. Be not high-minded, but fear. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness if you continue, once again, the miracle of continuing in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. So God's goodness is his mercy to lead us unto repentance, his forbearance and long suffering. His patience that we talked about before the study, that's working within us. And for us to know now that it's God's patience that's making it possible. But if we didn't know that, then we would have a problem because we would have reason to think that we have something to do with it. And of course, we don't. It's all of the Lord. Not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So knowing that's part of the process too. Hebrews 12:25. See that you refuse not him that speaks, for if they escape not who refused him that speak on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. John 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth fruit. And that's John 15, 2. That it brings forth more fruit, actually. So God's in that mindset for us. He wants us to be sure as a result of that foundation of works, because we need to have works that demonstrates our relationship with Christ, but they're his works, and we know they come at the expense of putting off our flesh, which is what John 15, verse 2 is telling us. So we start with verse 24. There before little upon the earth, four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. God's little remnant is little upon the earth and exceeding wise because of the mind of Christ that has been given to them. And those are the verses we're very familiar. Many are called, few are chosen. Luke 17, verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Matthew 24, verse 37. Whoops. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then Christ says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. That's talking about our praying, our crying out to God, which we talked about earlier. When the time is right, God will, but he puts us through that process. He says, I'll answer them speedily when the time comes. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on earth? And there's a very great point there because it takes that faith for us to wait for the Lord to do things in his time and in his way. Going back to what Michelle said, we look back and say, well, the Lord did answer that prayer. And while I was going through it, it was a great struggle for me in my flesh, but I can see now the Lord's hand. So that's the blessing that we pray, that the Lord helps us to see his omnipresence in our life, working all things for the good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The there before things that are little upon the earth is speaking of the whole body of Christ. Those who consider themselves to be alive in Christ and dead to sin, hoping to be raised in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. 1 John 3, verse 3, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The first of the four things mentioned that is exceeding wise in the earth and typifies the elect is ants that are likened to a people not strong, but together prepare their meat in the summer. The ant is a symbol of the diligence and unity body of Christ, which makes it possible to get the work of God done by every joint that supplies in love. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And then there's this Proverbs 6, which speaks about the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways, the church, be wise, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. What's that telling us as the body of Christ is that we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But we know, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. We pray that our flight is not in the winter when nothing is growing, and that is of the Lord, and that's our prayer for each other. But pray you that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day when nothing's happening, so that the Lord would give the increase to this body. And that's a humble prayer, because we're acknowledging that we can work all day long, we can fish all day long, but unless the Lord comes into our lives and blesses us and says, cast in that on the right side, we're not going to bring anything in. But rather that God would give us the spiritual increase that comes from him and is symbolized by the ant preparing their meat in the summer. Part of preparing is laying up store for the winter so that we are not left without oil and colder, darker times coming upon this earth. And this is a work of God that demonstrates his mercy toward the elect who will be made ready by the grace and faith of Christ. Matthew 24, verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And 25, verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And of course, that's of the Lord. He gives us that vessel, that extra oil that we'll need, and that will witness to the world of his power working in the church. And this will do if God permit. Luke 12, verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And finally, Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 26, the conies, a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. And the AFV says, the rock badgers, not mighty creatures, yet they make their houses in the rock. The second exceeding wise creature mentioned in the earth, the church, the body of Christ, is the conies, a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. The elect are being likened unto this creature that takes refuge refuge in the rocks, which symbolizes our being hidden in the Lord, who is the rock of our salvation. Notice it is plural, rocks, which infers that we are hidden in Christ together and make up those rocks with his life within us. Psalms 95, verses 1 and 2. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Mike was just mentioning that need, setting a stage for our relationship with our great God. And we all fail. I fail. I come short. I come before God in prayer and stop the bus. Get off the bus. Give my head a shake and think, you wouldn't come before a prime minister or a king without doing this first. And we should show the greatest of gratitude before we even mention anything about our needs, which God is able to take care of course. So we're learning. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Romans 12, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. That's how important we are to each other. We affect each other just like my arm affects my elbow, and my elbow, etc. We're totally connected. Job 5, verse 23. For thou shalt be in a league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. That's a powerful, powerful verse. We have peace that passes all understanding. Even in this evil world, we can walk through this life and we can be blessed and know that we have the strength of Christ to take us wherever we have to go to fulfill the will of God. We're hidden in the rocks. Is the coney a rock badger, a rabbit, a guinea pig? I don't know. There are a lot of theories out there. But for our purpose today, it is more important to understand what we can learn from this creature's behavior. And that symbolizes a maturing body of Christ. The feeble folk is a reminder that the world's perception of God's elect is that we are the weak of the world, which we are. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And yet, what is not seen is the strength that is ours through Christ, who is our wisdom and strength. We trust in the Lord and hide in him. And this is what makes the feeble folk exceeding wise in God's eyes as we're dragged to Christ. Isaiah 26, verses 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast. The Lord will come out to punish everyone on earth for their sins. And when he does, those who did violent crimes will be known and punished. Psalms 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. Verse 37, the locusts have no king. Verse 27, rather. Yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. And we'll look at that word. It's an interesting word. There is a positive and negative way of looking at having rulership over us. And in this case, locusts that have no king is a positive statement that reminds us that we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And yet, because we have the same spirit, the same king ruling over each of us in our heavens, we can yet go they forth, all of them, by bands, in harmony, in unison, with the same mind. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. 1 Corinthians 4, 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, not to think above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Philippians 2, verse 2, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. The Benz H2686 represents arrows, or the word of God that the elect hold fast to, not thinking above what is written, holding fast to our crown. And that preserves us in our battle against the fiery darts of the wicked one. God's word is likened unto children and an arrow, as seen in these verses. We just went over the one with Otto in 1 Samuel 20, verse 37, but Ephesians 6, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Psalms 127, verses 3 to 5, lo, children, an heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And like Mark was saying, nobody knows everything. We have this quiver full, and Christ, of course, is the one who's taking all of our experiences and knowledge, and he's using the body to build up the body. So we have all of these arrows. We have safety in a multitude of counselors. The word of God is there to protect us, to keep us healthy spiritually. 1 Samuel 20, verse 37. When the lad was come to the place of the arrow, which again, the word of God, which represents the word of God, which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, "Is not the arrow beyond thee?" And here's the word to shoot an arrow, bans, chassats. These locusts are another representation of the exceeding wise way that God is working within the body of Christ, and obviously with his word, which is what he's telling us with the bands. It reminds me of the centurion, I mentioned that in the prayer, who had the faith to see the connectivity of God's power to all things. And with the faith of Christ came humility and acknowledgement of his greatness and ability to command from afar, although he is not far from any of us. Matthew 8, verses 5 to 13. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Remember, this is typical faith. This is not the faith of Christ that God's elect have been given, but it is faith that witnesses to what God will be able to do through the body of Christ, through this band of brothers and sisters, saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." Jesus saith unto him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof." Think about that. This is the type of the elect. Christ has come under our roof. Our hope of glory is that Christ is under our roof right now. "But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say, do this, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily, I say unto you, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So there's a connection there with John 2. Christ is the least is greater. This is a great event. John the Baptist, that was a great event in the day. Everyone believed John was a prophet. When Christ saw this man, he said, "This is incredible. This is the faith demonstrating something that I've not seen." The Father brought this man in his way and his path. For us today, to remind us that when Christ comes into our life, we have this faith, the faith of Christ that causes us to be healed, to be able to go forward and be healed spiritually as he's come under our house. Acts 17, verse 27 and 28, that they should seek the Lord If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. And how true that is as we live and move. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Verse 28, the spider taketh hold with her hand and is in kings' palaces. The fourth creature that is like unto the elect is exceeding and is exceeding wise is the spider. As always, there is a negative and positive use of virtually every word in the Bible. The spider is negatively likened unto the churches of Babylon in these verses, Isaiah 59:5 and Job 8, verse 14. However, in this proverb, we're looking at the positive use of a spider who's abiding in king's palaces, which typifies Jerusalem above the mother of us all. We are fishers of men with Christ's mind, and the net that God has given us to construct, of course, he's doing the work in us, is like a web that needs God's power to bring forth any spiritual productivity or fish in the boat. John 21, verses 5 and 6, Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Babylon has a web of lies that captures the unconverted simple souls that we are at first, yet being guided by a self-righteous spirit. However, if God shows mercy to us in this age, we become unentangled from that web through the destruction of that man of perdition who makes up that web, to then be able to rightly divide the word and become true fishers of men, using the word of God via the power of God and not by the self-righteous wisdom of man's power, which we naturally trust in at first. The analogy is great. The analogy is that Christ, when he does lay hold of us, and the Father is says, I've lost none. We're in his hands. So he takes hold of us, of the body of Christ, and now we're in his net, as it were, in his company. Together. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. My speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Romans 3, verses 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? And I've been thinking about this verse a lot this week. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you might be justified in your sayings and might overcome when you are judged. And of course, Christ is the one being justified in our sayings because the Lord's working in us, and the world doesn't know that, but this is what he's telling us, is if their unbelief is there, it's there. That shouldn't stop anything in our lives. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. This is what Christ has promised us. Verses 29 and 30, there be three things which go well. Yea, four are comely in going, a lion which is strongest amongst beasts, and turns not away for any. The mention of three in this verse, there be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going, is to remind us that it is by judgment of God upon us in this age that we can be comely and see things go well in our goings. And that's why Romans 8:28 is written, that God says all things work together for the good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose, which is to be judged in this age, to have things go in a direction as God would have them, to his glory. So see things go well in our goings that are then likened unto the beasts detailed below, who typify the life of Christ within God's people. That's in Proverbs 30, I'm sorry, verse 29 in Rotherhand. Three things there are which step along well, yea, four which excel in going. So that movement there and the life of Christ going well in our goings with Christ in us. We can endure all things by Christ who strengthens us and overcome the adversary with the faith of Christ. And so it is Christ in us, our hope of glory, who makes it possible for us to fulfill this verse. A lion, which is strongest among beasts and turns not away for any. We are more than conquerors through him and are learning day by day as we die daily that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Peter so wanted to demonstrate that dedication to Christ, but he didn't want to die. He wanted to die for Christ, but could not die with Christ. And that's the difference. And people will even go to war and in the name of the Lord. And God says, no, that's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to lose your life so that you can gain it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 8, verse 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. A very present help in trouble. Matthew 10, verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Proverbs 30, verse 31. A greyhound, a he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. Here are the numbers on a greyhound and a he-goat. A greyhound there, H 22, 23, and H 49, 75. H 22, 23, Zarzir, and it says girded, which is important. Used with H 49, 75, which is in Proverbs 30, 31. Then you have the word mothen, H 49, 75. From an unused root meaning to be slender, properly the waist or small of the back, or only in plural, the loins, which is what we want to focus on. So there's the one use in Proverbs 30, 31, and there's how many times it's greyhound, one time, and loins, 41 times it's used. And that's a good study in itself, just looking at that. And then a he-goat, H8494, Tahish, from an unused root meaning to butt or buck, a buck or a he-goat, as given to butting. And then you have goats mentioned three times in Genesis 32 and 2 Chronicles. Both represent Christ and the strength of his life within his body, you know, the ability to push through, as well as a king against whom there is no rising up. Humanity has been rising up against Christ from the beginning of creation and will do so right until Gog and Magog. As the king, Jesus Christ keeps showing flesh. There is no rising up that will not be put down. And that's especially true for God's elect today within in John 8, verse 8, 36, where Christ says, there's a, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And he's talking about being free from sin, free from the powers and principalities that we're wrestling against. The qualities described below of the greyhound and the goat explain to us the zeal of our Lord and King, who will be consumed for his house, which we are. And his disciples remember that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And as he is, so are we. John 2, verse 17. John 4, verse 1 John 4, 17. So they were remembering Christ, but when they had the Holy Spirit, they were remembering that he was talking about them being the house of God, the zeal that was given to them. Once they had the Holy Spirit, then these things started to be applied inwardly with their hope of glory. Christ is within. Christ is likened unto a goat, as are the elect, with his life abiding within us. Genesis 30, verse 35, and then 39 and 41. And he, Jacob, removed that day the goats, the he-goats, which is what this word is, that were ring-striped and spotted. And Jacob, of course, represents Christ separating us from the world. And all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And the flocks conceived before the rods, and brought forth cattle, ring-striped, speckled, and spotted. And it's before the rods, of course, you could think of that as being the rod of Aaron, the correction, the judgment that brings forth growth and productivity, spiritually speaking. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. The greyhound is connected to the word loins, which refers to the area between the ribs and the hips, including the lower back and reproductive organs. It is also used in a symbolic way to represent strength, having children, and being ready to act. Christ has girded up his loins for us, and because we are more than conquerors through him, we will be his inheritance, who will be girded with power as well. We talked about that last night on the study. The loins and the thigh are referenced together in these verses, Exodus 28, verses 41 to 43, and point to rulership. Revelation 19, verses 15 and 16. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 2, verses 26 to 29. And he that overcometh and keep my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As he is, so are we. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star, which we know is Christ. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Exodus 28, verses 41 to 43. Thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, and shall anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, talking about the garments, the holy garments. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. They shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons, who typify the elect, when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity. And that's the key, that we're not coming with our thoughts. We had that beautiful discussion about prayer, because anything short of coming with this linen, the righteousness of Christ, is iniquity. And we all know that. We were asking the Lord to burn that out of us so that it's truly Christ giving those prayers through us. That they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. Verses 32 and 33. If you have done foolishly in lifting up yourself, or if you have thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk brings forth butter, and the wringing of the nose brings forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. These last two proverbs admonish us to remain humble in our walk with the Lord, knowing that he who has begun this good work of faith within us will finish it. And of course, it's the nations are being judged within us now with God's word. And so we understand that. We say, Lord, this is why we have to suffer. We have to be humble in our flesh in this whole life. but be confident that the Lord knows how to get us from A to Z, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1 verse 6. What do we do if you have done foolishly in lifting up yourself, or if you have thought evil? And we repent, and we don't and don't despise God's goodness that brought us to that point. We lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Romans 2:4, or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And granted, just written an email, I was thinking, where is that verse? I know it in my head, I couldn't find it. So the Lord provides for us, and this is another, there's no small example. The Lord will give us what we need miraculously. I don't know how, well, I do know how he does it. He inspires us. He reminds us that we're a body. So here's a verse, Jeremiah 3:13, chapter 3, verse 13. Only acknowledge your iniquity. So if you are going into that tabernacle and that place with that linen, and there is an iniquity, God says, I'm not done with you. Just acknowledge the iniquity. And then the righteousness of Christ will replace that, will continue in his service, Lord willing. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God, and have scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree, and trees are men, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Inevitably, if we do not humbly walk together, the forcing of wrath brings forth strife. These verses are an admonition for the body of Christ to walk in harmony and to be at peace with each other. Otherwise, we won't be able to see the Lord, Hebrews 12, verse 14, and go on to become the woman described in the last chapter of Proverbs 31. Hebrews 12, verse 14, follow peace with all and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Abraham typifies Christ for us today. And the first instance of the word strife in the Bible shows us how he dealt with a potentially strife-filled situation in Genesis 13, verses 7 to 9. I think those are some of the last verses. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If you will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. You can just feel his imploring tone. Let's not do this before God. Let's not argue. Let's do the right thing. We can strain at a gnat and swallow a camel if we're not looking to the Lord. But when we do look to him for the strength and maturity we need in our walk, we can truly be at peace with all men and have holiness in our lives. Without that right perspective, we become the blind guides who cannot see the Lord, meaning to perceive his wisdom and his mind, which will always bring peace that passes all understanding when it is granted. Matthew 23, 24, you blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's our study. Thank you all for coming out. I'm looking forward to doing the last proverb, however long that takes, Lord willing.